It's time for a solid hour of Tea Party Power with Mark Gillar.
Welcome to the Tea Party Power Hour. Our special guest today is Michael Maloof. He is the author of a brand new book called A Nation Forsaken, EMP, The Escalating Threat of an American Catastrophe. Michael is a former security analyst with the Office of the Secretary of Defense. While he was with the Department of Defense, he was the Director of Technology Security. And, of course, all that plays in very well to his brand new book. It's a topic that's on everyone's mind, especially for those of you who are familiar with the NBC hit Revolution. Michael, welcome to the show.
Well, thank you for having me. I appreciate it.
I'm excited about this. You know, it's a topic that I've been hearing a lot about. I've had people calling me and sending me emails saying, you know, I'm worried about this EMP thing. What do I do to get prepared? How do I build a Faraday cage? But before we start getting into things like that, let's take a step backwards. Tell the audience what an EMP is and what the potential consequences are on our way of living. Should we come under some form of EMP attack, or should an EMP occur naturally from the sun?
I'll be happy to. Well, first of all, I've purposely entitled the book A Nation Forsaken because our authorities, our national authorities, previous administrations, including this one and the Congress, have been very aware of this potential threat for years, whether it's man-made or natural, but and have done virtually nothing about it. And we can get into that. But the electromagnetic pulse is a high-intensity burst of electromagnetic energy, and it's caused by a rapid acceleration of charged particles that can be so powerful and supercharged that they can knock out or completely fry any of your unprotected electronics or electrical systems, depending on its intensity. And, you know, America has a modern technology-based society, and it's heavily dependent on electric power, our electronics, our telecommunications, our information networks, our financial and transportation systems. And while this has served us quite well to become the major economic and industrial world power that we are, it also can act as our own Achilles heel because of our dependency on the electronics and the electrical grid which serve our very critical interdependent infrastructures, and we have a total reliance on these infrastructures today to maintain our modern society as we know it, and we're looking at infrastructures such as our national grid system, our telecommunications, our energy, our transportation, our food and water delivery systems, our medical care. All of these are served by major electronics and certainly the national grid system, which is at best in a very precarious position anyway. So whether if we were to have an EMP event, whether natural or man-made, the concern is, and this is what the book talks about, is the impact of what it would have on those critical interdependent infrastructures on which our society depends, and the result can be very, very devastating.
Michael, to individuals. Let's give the folks at home a chance to see how it might have an immediate impact. First of all, should an EMP hit, the electronics go out instantly, correct? I mean, just like within a second.
Yes.
I mean, okay.
Yes.
So if you are in a plane, you've got a problem. If you have a pacemaker, you have a problem. If you're in a hospital and you're being kept alive by electronic equipment, you have a problem.
Yep. You're right in all cases.
So what are the steps that our government should be taking to protect the big picture, because I can't do anything to protect the power grid, and what are the smaller steps that individuals should be taking, assuming that the government's not going to do anything? What can we do to protect ourselves individually on a smaller basis?
Well, there's First of all, on the national level, as I said earlier, the Congress and the administrations, including this one, have been very, very aware of this problem. And in fact, the Congress back in 2000, in the year 2000, actually set up what was called the EMP Commission. And so, and that commission did some extensive work. They had some of the most brilliant minds and scientific minds on that panel. And they issued an initial a preliminary report back in 2004 and then a final report in 2008 reaffirming what they said back in 2004, and that is that it, the impact would be devastating upon these interdependent interdependent infrastructures, and it would have a cascading effect that we wouldn't be able to recover from for quite some time. And again, it could be from a natural cause, such as solar storms, or from a man-made attack, from an EMP pulse from a nuclear weapon that's exploded high above us. Now, this has been known since 2008. Unfortunately, very, very limited copies of that report were disseminated. So,
do you have a copy?
I have it off the web now. Yes, I have a copy.
Okay, I was going to ask if you could let my audience know where they might be able to obtain a copy.
Well, if they go to EMP Commission, and they Google, just Google EMP Commission, they'll see the full title of the report, which is an assessment of the commission of. And it goes on electromagnetic pulse attack on the United States. I think that's the formal title of it. Mm-hmm. And they can actually get it on a PDF, the whole report.
Okay. What I'm going to try to do is get a hold of that because we're recording right now, and I'll put it on our website, teapartypowerhour.com.
Okay.
And that way anybody who's interested in getting a copy of the report won't have to fish for it too hard. We'll just post it at teapartypowerhour.com. In fact, we'll post it right beside the link to the archived version of this show. And that way...
Okay, very good.
Okay, so go ahead.
Very good, because the book takes some of that and puts it in plain talk English. It, admittedly, that report is somewhat technical. In fact, it's greatly technical. And what I've done is actually is boil it down to every man in English, and so that we can understand it. And I introduce scenarios that are very, very plausible in the book that outline what will be the impact of an EMP attack, whether it's natural or man-made. The one thing that the report emphasizes, and I think needs to be, and I also emphasize in my own book, is something that we don't even look at or think about, and that is the automated control systems that govern our entire life. And these are basically called SCADAs, mm-hmm. which stands for Supervisory Control and Data Acquisition Systems. These devices, there's many of them in remote areas. They control very large sections of our entire industry and commerce. We just take them for granted, and we don't even think twice about them.
And one of the questions I had for you is, tell us where some of these SCADAs are in place. Give us the real-world impact of it, of this.
Sure. They're in our electrical transmission and distribution systems, our water management, our oil and gas pipelines, our utilities, our telecommunications. They're everywhere. Our ATM machines, it's all automatic. Anything that's electronic and automatic, anything that touches your life that's automatic and is electronically based is a SCADA, basically. And it can be from the smallest device to a much larger device that control entire pipelines, as I pointed out. And if these things go out, and we've had instances where we've had explosions. I did an article recently for WND, World Net Daily, in which there were explosions on pipelines, 36-inch pipelines, because the SCADA was tripped by something which was just totally unexpected. And that was in the case of a... In one case, as I recall, in the Netherlands, back in the 1980s, it was from a radar from a ship that was offshore. It tripped that SCADA, and caused pressure to and shut it down, and caused so much pressure buildup it actually exploded. And so with these kinds of breakdowns, automatic breakdowns from an EMP event over a wide area, you can imagine what the chaos is going to be if you see an instance with just one case, but on a magnified case of over an entire region of these things shutting down, you're going to have explosions and fires and other disruptions that are going to be totally unexpected, and it could absolutely cause chaos in our society.
As we talk about the potential, Michael, as we talk about the potential for a natural EMP caused by the sun, I'm guessing that in our planet's history this has happened before, but in the past we didn't have the electronics, so there was no impact. Am I correct on that or not?
Yeah. Back in 1859 was perhaps considered to be the most intense in recorded history. Back then we just had the telegraph. Even that telegraph was affected. It was mechanical, but yet it was affected. They unplugged it, and because of the arcing due to the intensity of the electromagnetic charges and supercharges there, and superparticles rather, the thing kept on working, and it created 3 days of aurora borealis around the world. And that now our scientists, now this is what's why the urgency I put out this book and the urgency behind it is that NASA, National Aeronautics and Space Administration, and the National Academy of Sciences both are warning that the sun is reaching its most intense period in 11 years this year and next year. And they're warning that if one of those flares can rip off from the sun and cause a direct hit on the Earth, we're going to have this kind of effect. And some of these flares can be 2 to 3 times larger than the Earth itself.
My goodness.
Yes. Now, the impact that they're predicting, and this is NASA talking and the NAS talking, they're estimating that the effect, if we have a direct hit, comparable to the 1859 Carrington event, as it's called, the guy who studied this thing back then, is that it could cost us upwards of $2 trillion, take 4 to 10 years to recover, and affect more than 160 million lives.
We are talking about, in that case, a global EMP effect, correct?
Yes. Yes.
Okay.
It can easily be global, yes. But it depends upon the angle at which that flare will hit the hit the Earth and where the most intense would be. Now, because we're at a higher latitude to the North Pole, the intensity may be even greater in the United States. And it will affect us more because of our high dependency on electronics. If we didn't have a developing country won't be as affected.
Korea, for example, if you've seen those satellite photos at night of North and South Korea, North Korea is one of those places where a lot of people wouldn't know the difference. Now, I'm going to be very, very blunt with the next question, and I do so for a reason. As much as the natural event is a significant threat, as evidenced by some of the scientific bodies who support the theory, and as much as we're always concerned about a terrorist threat on our power grid, be it EMP or simple explosives, there are a lot of people in the United States, particularly after hearing about Boeing developing the drone that was capable of delivering an EMP hit on a specific building.
Correct.
There are a lot of people who feel that in the case of civil unrest, massive national civil unrest, that this is a weapon that our own government might turn against us. Talk to us about these drones and why they were developed and how successful they have been in their testing.
Well, as you pointed out, Boeing just conducted a drone test, and the drone test was basically an EMP weapon that was aimed at a building full of running computers, and it knocked them all out, totally fried them. None of them worked afterwards. Now, a drone easily could be used, but hopefully the intention of the U.S. government is to use them on adversaries. However, mm-hmm. as you point out, you never can tell that these things can turn on us. And I might add that given the accessibility of drones and maybe even small drones, and the fact that the technology and know-how how to make an EMP weapon is on the internet, mm-hmm. I wouldn't doubt that individuals and lone wolves and even terrorist cells could do the same thing, take advantage of a chaotic situation to make it even worse.
So, you talk about the plans that are on the net, that would be for a much smaller scale weapon, though, would it not?
Yeah. Yes, yes, it can be a smaller weapon, but, you know, you can, whether you put it into a suitcase or you put it into a small drone, it'll be the same thing, and it can be, and if someone's technically competent enough, they could have a radio controlled device that could guide such a drone, and then they can activate it all remotely.
So you cannot
dismiss the creativity of bad guys.
That's true. They always seem to be the first to latch on a new technology. I'm not sure why.
Who would have thought that they would have used aircraft as in effect cruise missiles loaded with fuel and crashing them in the buildings as a weapon, and it was quite effective. This is something we have to be thinking out of the box, and we're not thinking out of the box in these cases, because people who are not as sophisticated and as powerful as the United States is will look for some asymmetric ways or unconventional ways of trying to go after us and undermine us and hurt us. And you cannot rule out these possibilities, and that's why thinking out of the box like this is something that's is going to be important in this day and age, because again, you cannot make this stuff up. People are going to use their imaginations, and if they have the will and the technical know-how, you cannot rule anything out. Just like why, for example, our internets, and I point this out in the book, and I only published the identification of these internet sites to make a point, and I'll get to that point in a minute, but the fact that you have these internet sites actually advertising how to make an EMP weapon, how to actually then scale it up to make it even larger and bigger, it to me is quite disconcerting. But the reality is, because we have the First Amendment and all the rest, and you can't shut down that internet site unless you want to intimidate them to take it down on the one hand, but on the other hand, it's out there, and that's why we need to be having our national, our state, and local authorities taking an initiative to deal with this and to counter that kind of activity. And that's why I published the sites, so that lawmakers and our national authorities are aware that it's out there. It's there now, and anybody who has an intent of using those sites and to make such devices and use them against our population and against the government itself will be able to do it. And just by the mere fact that Boeing was able to successfully test a drone and with an EMP weapon inside, it shows that it can be done.
I think that woke a lot of people up, Michael.
Oh yeah, it did. It was startling on the one hand, but you know, we also have use the EMP devices in our own aircraft when we're going in and trying to hit a target. So it's not an unheard of technology. And I would add, the adversaries, U.S. adversaries, are very aware of this. Whoever they might be out there, they're aware of EMP. They're aware of its capabilities, and they've been aware of it for years. And they've seen how it works. It's very effective, and it knocks out communications. It knocks out command and control systems. And they're, you know, it's just going to be a question of time before they adopt it for their own uses and purposes.
Michael, today is January 5th, 2013. Give us a threat assessment of all the different places an EMP attack could come from. What is the most likely in your estimation?
Well, the most immediate, I think, is going to be the natural from the sun. Given the warnings that have come out of NASA and the NAS, I'm very, very concerned about that. That's probably going to be the most immediate. Secondarily, might be your lone wolves internally in the United States, who will know about this technology and be able to apply it as a tactic, and it can be done without any knowledge of where the source of that attack came from. That's the other thing about using the use of these devices. It doesn't make a bang, or it can make a little bang, but you can just get a surplus radar and put it in the back of a truck and aim it and direct it toward a building or toward cars. And the book itself goes into a certain scenario where someone did just that and blocked all the bridges to access into Washington, and as a consequence then was able successfully, because all traffic was tied up and all emergency responders were jam-packed. They were then able then to launch an actual terrorist attack on the subway. So it was a great diversion. It can be used as a diversionary tactic on the one hand. So, you know, again, you cannot make this stuff up. If I can think of it, you can be sure that people with intent will do the same thing.
Michael, you mentioned in the book that Newt Gingrich seems to be aware of this and is trying to get something done about it. But does he have anyone else in Washington trying to assist him with this, or is Congress pretty much ignoring it at this point?
Well, he certainly took the lead in making this threat known very recently during the primary in the last election, during the Republican primaries, and he was very forthcoming, forthright in saying that the number one, and identifying that the number one national security threat is the threat of an EMP attack or event. And everyone was sort of, what? What's that? Yeah. And so I recall when Business Insider went back and another website went back to check, well, what is an EMP? They said, oh, my God, he's onto something. But Newt Gingrich has been saying this for years. He's been on Impact America and talked about this. And he's been out front on this issue. So have other solitary congressmen, and I would add that they would include Roscoe Bartlett, who unfortunately was just defeated in his election bid for re-election in Maryland. You have Trent Franks out of Arizona. Now, we're hoping that Mr. Franks will once again introduce what's called the SHIELD Act in Congress with the new Congress. We had it pending in the House. There was, but unfortunately, and it didn't go anywhere. It was in the Energy Subcommittee or Energy Committee over there, just sort of languished. And I'm afraid that for some reason the utility industry got to the folks there to take no action, simply because the SHIELD Act would impose certain requirements by the federal government to do things on the utilities to take action. And what it all boils down to is cost. Basically, it's a cost issue in many respects. They're always upgrading technologies anyway, but why not upgrade with hardened electronics?
If we upgraded our power grid, and if the government upgraded everything that needed to be upgraded in order to make us much less vulnerable to an EMP attack or event, what would the cost be? What do you think the total cost would be?
Well, compared to $2 trillion damage assessment, I would say anywhere from $20 to $40 billion over a few year period. Would probably be about what is probably the range in which it can be done, but again, I think because of that's a lot of money. That's still a lot of money to me, at least. Heck, $100 is a lot of money to me. But at any rate, that's still a lot of money comparatively speaking. Until now, I think the the utilities feel that they would have to pick up the cost. I really think that it needs to be a shared type of thing between the federal government and the utilities, given the national priorities that this thing should have. And the fact, too, that and I also believe that given the seriousness of this issue, that this should be resident in the National Security Council should be an EMP czar who can oversee coordination of the national, state, and local levels to get this country underway, to organize and make sure that we are prepared for such an event. And again, it's not just the sun. It can be an adversary who's sort of licking their chops looking at this. And we've had instances in the past where Russian parliamentary members have told members of our own Congress, such as Bartlett and Congressman Kurt Weldon, who used to be in Pennsylvania, who represented Pennsylvania. They flat out told him if we wanted to bring the United States to its knees, we'd just explode an EMP, launch a missile from a submarine off of your coast, explode the EMP at a high altitude, knock out your command control, your communications, and your national grid, and you're done for. Now, what makes us even more startling is the fact that our own military relies 99% on the national grid.
And that is a very scary thought. Now, when I look at the stimulus package that the Obama administration passed in the early days of the first term, I mean, we were talking nearly $1 trillion being spent. I mean, that thing had more pork in it than you could imagine. Mm-hmm. This could have easily been addressed in that stimulus package. It's a shame that it was not.
Yes, and I'll tell you one other thing, and that's really disturbing. Two things. Number one, Obama, I'm told by people up on the Hill that Obama is personally aware of the geomagnetic threat of an EMP. Yet he has not taken any action. And in the meantime, we have the Department of Homeland Security, which has refused or has not even tried to include EMP as one of its 15 national planning scenarios, which implements action by DHS to undertake emergency measures in cases of a catastrophe. So, and yet, why can't Obama just sign an executive order requiring DHS to take such action? It hasn't happened. I mean, he could do something very simply right now. And Department of Homeland Security is aware of EMP mm-hmm. and its threat, but it's not one of their 15 planning scenarios that implements emergency procedures in cases of an emergency. So, in effect, EMP is not an emergency issue for them, and this has got to change.
Michael, what's it like for you to hear the Department of Homeland Security and military officials saying that global warming poses a monster security threat to the United States while ignoring the EMP threat?
Well, I just think it's just mind-boggling and distorted. The EMP threat is clearly the greater threat. Global warming is not the imminent threat that an EMP is, frankly, if global warming actually exists.
Well, I'm with you on that.
The EMP threat is a threat, and that's what the book is about.
Well, you know that the global warming community would like to go back to the 19th century. I mean, if Al Gore could figure out a way to turn off everyone else's electricity and keep his on, he'd probably do it. So that's something they talk about all the time, reducing carbon emissions by going back to a simple lifestyle without electricity. But
they're noted for their hypocrisy, and as a consequence, I ignore them.
I don't blame you one bit. Now, not to be a pessimist, but I don't see our government doing anything anytime soon. So I'd like to close out the interview by you giving some advice to individuals at home. You know, should they go out and buy a 1957 Chevy? Should they build a Faraday cage and throw a bunch of walkie-talkies in it? What does the individual homeowner have to do to protect his or herself and their family?
Well, that's where I think and the book gets into this. Don't wait for the federal government in order to act. I think things can be done at the local community level and at the individual level. I think local community emergency coordinators need to begin devising plans within their local communities for such an event. They should have in place pre-positioned locations where people will know where to go in the event of an EMP attack or event, because communications, you have to assume communications won't be working. Law enforcement may not be effective because they're going to be out trying to protect their own families. So there needs to be pre-positioned locations identified for communities, local communities, so that they know where to go to get surplus foods and water, prescription drugs. People will not be able to get the prescription drugs if the EMP event is massive and intense enough, and because a lot of those are delivered to people, and you can only get a 30-day supply at most. So people need to ensure that they at least have their own 30-day supply of their prescriptions. And as someone who's getting older, I know I need certain prescriptions, and I have to have them, and otherwise mm-hmm. I've got a problem. So, and I think there's millions of people in the same boat out there. So, this is one thing. Individually, I think I think at the community level, these coordinators need to be able to have emergency means of alerting people not only to where to assemble, but be prepared to maybe set up tent cities if necessary, so that people have a place to stay, especially if it's if their own quarters are going to be compromised or they can no longer stay in their own facilities. Foods, MREs, for example, you got to have food. People got to eat, and you know, especially in the urban areas, grocery stores stock no more than about 3 days worth of food.
Mm-hmm.
So you know, in the more rural areas, people can grow their own food. And they can go out hunting and things like that. But people in the cities are basically going to have a real problem. And I think if there was an assault from an outside force using an EMP, they're primarily going to aim at the more urbanized areas anyway, because that's where they're going to get the most effect and impact for what they're intending to do. So I think even in the cities that we've got to have these kinds of centers identified and located done by emergency coordinators. Individually, I always personally keep a go bag, as I call it. I've got my essentials in there that I require, such as meds, as I said. And, of course, a handgun would not hurt. Adequate knives. Now, the book goes into that. It goes into it in considerable detail toward the end on how you can prepare yourself individually and what the local communities need to take in order to at least mitigate somewhat the impact that such an event will have on a community.
Well, that starts on page 121 of the book, and let me close by giving you this compliment. Michael, I'm one of those people that is concerned about this, and I'm also concerned about the need to be prepared for other reasons. And with that in mind, I've seen these ads on the internet, much like everyone listening to this show has, where they'll say, you know, order this binder and this DVD, and we'll show you how to get prepared, you know, in the event of a disaster, blah, blah, blah. And what I can tell you is the little section you put together in the back of your book is more thorough, more complete than something that I paid $50 for. Okay?
Well,
this book,
well, thank you.
You know, costs about half that. So the last little section of the book with the detailed preparation plans of what you as an individual need to do to get ready is more than worth the price of this book. So I am going to encourage everyone, I believe it was available as of January 3rd.
That's correct.
Okay. Everyone, I'm going to encourage everyone to go out and get a copy of this book, A Nation Forsaken, EMP, The Escalating Threat of an American Catastrophe by F. Michael Maloof. I'm going to put a link an Amazon link on our website, teapartypowerhour.com, so you can buy it straight from there. I'm also going to put up that PDF that Michael referenced a little while ago. And I'm also going to encourage you to go to teapartypowerhour.com because many of the things that Michael recommends in the book are available by clicking on some of the ads at teapartypowerhour.com. Michael, this is a very timely warning, and it's not just a warning, but it's a how to be prepared book. There's an old saying, if you point out a problem but you don't have a solution, you're just griping. Well, you didn't just gripe. You gave us a solution as well. I want to congratulate you on this book, and I wish you much success with it, and I want to thank you for being here.
Well, thank you for having me. I appreciate it, and hopefully people will take this issue very, very seriously, and thanks for making that possible.
Hi, I'm Brian Brody. Have you ever lost your power and simply wanted to flip a switch to turn your lights back on? If so, this message is the most important you will ever hear, because there's never been a better time to get off the grid and generate your own supply of electrical power. Solar power generators are now available. These emergency backup systems provide life-saving electrical power when you need it most. Unlike gas generators, a solar generator runs quietly, emits no fumes, and produces electricity from the sun. It's like running an electric power plant in your own home. Hurricanes, ice storms, brownouts, blackouts, you'll never suffer through painful power outages again.
And if you'd like to learn how you can get a solar generator for your family, just go to teapartypowerhour.com and click on the appropriate ad. While you're there, you'll also see ads for solar ovens, extended life light bulbs, and life-saving survival food packets.
Are you worried about the economy? Have you ever wondered if the politicians and the bankers are going to bring the whole thing crashing down? If so, pay close attention. Because in an economic meltdown, non-hybrid seeds could become more valuable than even silver and gold. After all, securing a source of food for your family is the single most important thing you can do. Introducing the Survival Seed Bank, the perfect mix of germination-tested non-hybrid seeds. You get enough seeds to plant a full-acre crisis garden that can produce an endless supply of nutrient-dense food for you and your family. And the best part is that these seeds have not been genetically modified in any way. Remember, in a real economic crisis, non-hybrid seeds are the ultimate barter item. Prepare your family today.
Prepare your family today by going to teapartypowerhour.com and clicking on the ad for the Survival Seed Bank. Now, while you're there, you're going to see ads for a lot of other products that can help your family in the event of a disaster, whether the disaster is government-made or natural. You're going to see ads for things like solar-powered ovens, solar-powered electrical supplies, and freeze-dried food that can provide your family with immediate nutrition in the event of an economic meltdown. Once again, the place to go is teapartypowerhour.com. And I want to welcome you back to the Tea Party Power Hour. Unfortunately, Larry Klayman, who was scheduled to be on today, cannot make it. We're going to try to have him back on again next week. As always, thanks for listening, and we'll talk to you real soon.
You've been listening to the Tea Party Power Hour with Mark Gillar.